Lord willing, we'll have one more week in this section and we'll move on from this section about the end of the age. Indeed, the subject about the end of the age comes up because of what Jesus said about the destruction of the temple. It unsettled them. And it says that afterwards he sat down on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Peter, James, and John ask him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign when these things are all to be accomplished?" And Matthew makes it very clear what was being asked. "Tell us, when will this be, and what will the sign of your coming in the close of the age?" The disciples had, just like us, we're hardly any different. When terrible things are viewed, we think, surely this is it. The unleashing power of atomic weapons in Japan rattled the world to its core, and we thought, well, we can't go on. Remember the clock, the doomsday clock? We were seconds from it. And the world just sees, well, this can't continue. And it has, for a short period. But the world sees certain events as bound to be the end. And the disciples felt that way about the destruction of Jerusalem, and Jesus prophesying it shook them. So they asked this question. And so we're in the middle of Jesus' reply to this question. And last week we read the account of Jesus saying that there's coming in those days after that tribulation. And Jesus is now looking through past the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem to the end of the age. He's looking through it now. And he says, "In those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." God's doing the shaking. God's doing the darkening. Things are just not going to continue. And then you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the ends of heaven. And keep repeating it because I like the text. "And when you see these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh." And that's that great text in Luke chapter 21. And so last week we talked about this shaking and how God is going to give us a new heavens and a new earth, and a new age is coming where things cannot be shaken. We will receive a kingdom that is unshakable, firm to the heavens. There's going to be there'll be no conflict. And so Jesus will come, and in that time and in that day, there'll be a great ingathering. Well, this week we have the shortest of parables. One translation says he told them a parable from the fig tree. Another translation says, "And from the fig tree, Jesus said, learn this lesson. As soon as the branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near." You know, we wouldn't use this illustration in Texas. We would say, "When you see the pecan trees bud out." Have you ever heard that? Anybody heard that? Up north, they say, "When the oak leaves are as big as a squirrel's ear, you know summer is coming." I don't know when they're measuring them, but we have these illustrations, and Jesus uses this one about the fig tree, and he says, "When you see the events as a fig tree blossoming, know that the summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, know that he is near at the very gates. Now, the question is, there's a lot of questions. All of this brings up questions that Jeff's not going to answer probably to your satisfaction. He says that these things are unmistakably going to happen and people will see it. We mentioned last week how when Christ comes, he'll be like lightning from the, from the east and flashes to the west. It's going to be unmistakable. You're not going to miss it. I have a good friend. I won't go any farther than that. Who was a very young Christian and approached Christianity in a very simplistic way. He told me one day, he said, "Jeff, just let me know if it's going to happen. Don't." He was afraid he would just miss it. And I saw that as kind of sweet in some sense, that he was looking for it, but he was afraid for himself that he might miss it. But no one's going to miss this. There will be no secret rapture. And here in this text this morning, learn from the fig tree that summer is coming. When you see these things begin to take place, you know, as the fig tree, you know summer's coming. You know when the pecan leaves come out, you know the future is just right there. The summer. And that's just almost impossible not to say it. The summer morn we've longed for. The fair, sweet morn awakes. And that's what he's saying here. You just, it's coming, it's coming. You know that he is near at the very gates, the Son of Man. And at this point, Jesus begins to say some things that would be almost inexplicable to the apostles. They wouldn't understand it. But does this keep Jesus from telling us things? Did it keep him? He told them about the cross. They didn't understand that. He told them, he's constantly telling them things that they don't understand. And so this Jesus has began to speak to them in such a way. He's speaking to them now as if he's gone. He's absent. Listen to what it says. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates, as if he had gone. And now all of a sudden Jesus is telling them, it's just coming and telling them that there is viewed here at this point an absence of Jesus. I mean, right there in Luke, they were saying to Jesus, "Is this the time that you're going to restore everything?" And Jesus proceeds to tell them, "No, I'm going. There's going to be an intervening time." And so Jesus says here, when you see all this happening, know that he's speaking himself in the third person. He is near at the very gates. And they're probably thinking, I don't know what they're thinking. They're not getting it for sure. But he's speaking as if he is absent. There is an interim time in view here now that Christ has gone back up into the heavens. Let's read it. Let's see. Luke gives an account of the ascension of Christ into the heavens, and he says, "And when he had said these things, as they were looking, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heavens," this is Acts chapter 1, verse 9 and following, "as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, Why do you stand looking into the heavens? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. They did not have the slightest idea that there would be this interim period. The New Testament speaks of the incarnation, the ministry of Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ, and his coming again as all one event that happened in the last days. But the disciples weren't ready for it. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 18 to the end, he's telling them, as he's standing, he's giving them the Great Commission, and they're thinking, I don't know what they're thinking. They're not thinking he's leaving. But he's saying to them, you go out, all heaven and all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. You go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He's going, but his presence in the Spirit will be with them to the end of the age that they'd been asking him about. They have no idea of this interim period that you and I live in. I'm probably just going on and on, you know it. So we have Jesus at this point begins to speak as if he's gone, but he's returning. And so now he's talking about this return. Truly I say to you that this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels, not even the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, therefore, and watch, for you do not know when the time will come, when his return is. Now, he's saying there's a generation coming that will see signs line up, and that generation will not pass from there is a final generation. Did you know that? A generation that sees summer come, that are alive when they see it. These few, these precious few, this band, this happy band of Christians that will actually look up and see it. And Jesus says they will not be caught unaware. They will see these things beginning to take place, and they will know that he is near. He's at the very gates. Reminds me of that wonderful thing in the Song of Solomon's when the bridegroom is at his hand, reaches in the door. You know the text? Jesus is just right there. And so he tells the saints, in light of all this, take heed, verse 33, and watch, for you do not know when the time will come. This summer is coming. This summer morning. In the meantime, we live in a day of tribulation, a time of shaking, a time when the master is gone. Next week, we won't talk about it here. He says it's like a man going on a journey, and he puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. We live in that period when we are watching. The New Testament is just packed with it. I'm going to read them again. It's so encouraging. The New Testament is packed with this thought. The end of all things is at hand. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief suddenly. And that's why he says, watch. This is 2 Peter. And the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and all the works that are done in it will be exposed. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these things, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish. Romans chapter 13, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep. The salvation is nearer to us than we first believed. And I love this phrase. Listen, let it sink down in your heart. The night is far gone. We live in the night. I know this morning, and there's many a morning that's just as bright and clear out. The air is clear. The sun is shining and the spring is there and all that. But spiritually speaking, we live in this interim of night. And Jesus is saying, Paul is saying here, the night is far gone. The day is at hand. Do you know there's a generation coming? Could it be us? Us? We? Us? Thank you. Sometimes I get it right. Could it be us? When we look up, there is a generation, and we are counseled to watch and to pray and to keep on the alert. Mark chapter 13, verse 37. He ends the whole chapter with this, and I'm jumping ahead. But he says, What I say to all, to every generation, to all men, watch. He says it to the final generation, whoever they may be. And he says to every generation since the time of Christ's ascension into the heavens, heaven must receive him until he comes. But he is coming. All of us are told to watch. And in the interim, he's near. He's at the gates. We preach the gospel knowing he's coming. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16, the Holy Spirit's been poured out. Upon the saints in Pentecost, and he quotes the book of Joel. He says, in these last days it shall be, God declares, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. The saints had no idea of this interim period, but he says this will all happen, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And just later, Peter is preaching, and he just verses on down from that in Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, whom you crucified. And when they heard all of this, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said to the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And it says, "With many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them to save themselves from the crooked generation." And he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 17, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, and so did your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, and thus he is thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring of all things, that by which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets." So here we are in this section about the summer coming. He says it's indeed coming in a generation. Some generation will not have to look and pass through death. They will see it. And in the meantime, the gospel is preached. We go throughout all the world preaching the gospel. And we know that heaven must keep him, must receive him until the final day, the final hour. And he will come suddenly like a thief in the night. Now listen what it says here. I'm getting ready to tell you. He says, I'm telling you, there's a generation coming when they see these things happening. It will come just right on the heels of these things. Now, what are these things? Now, I'm telling you, I don't know. The signs, they want signposts, but he doesn't give them. He just gives them general warnings that they will not be caught unaware and they should watch. Now listen to what it says. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." These things are sure. But listen to what he tells them next in verse 32. You want to know when this is going to happen. And Jesus tells them in verse 32, "I'm not going to tell you. I know, but I'm not going to tell you." Is that what it says? I'm keeping this to myself. He doesn't know. This is one of the most amazing texts in the Scripture. And it was hard for the early church. You read the commentators about all this. A lot of them didn't like this. They didn't like the idea of those things Jesus didn't know. He knew. I mean, he knew it was coming and he was sure about it. And he told them to watch and to wait and to be careful. But he did not know the hour, and so he tells them, "But that day, that hour, no one knows, not even the angels." What's that angel that the Mormons talk about? Starts with a Moroni or something, macaroni or something. I'm mocking them. It's right that I mock them. There's no angel that knows this stuff. Jesus doesn't know this stuff. When the time comes for Christ's return, the Lord God, his Father, will say now. So, we have a warning about thinking that one knows the end. But no one does know. Take a heed. Listen to verse 33. Take heed, watch. Why should we watch? because there are specific signs that point exactly to he's going to come within our generation. Should we watch because of that? No. We watch because we don't know. Listen, I'm telling you, if I knew for a fact I'm preparing for a big banquet, and I know you're all supposed to show up at 7:30, I know when you're coming. I prepare and everything's fine and I could relax a little bit and, well, they're not coming for a little while. Got an hour or so, 2 hours, whatever. And there's a certain cavalier attitude about knowing the exact time. But if you do not know, you watch. You watch. And we do not know. And that is the reason we are to watch. This warning about the end is, and this warning to watch and to take heed, verse 33, is for the very fact that we do not know. The signs of the exact moment of his appearing are not given to us. All this whole chapter, we had hoped that Jesus would tell us exactly when. When is this going to happen? And Jesus ends it all with this: you don't know. You do not know the end and the time of the end. What they ask for is not given. And he tells them to watch. Now, this leads us to the pastoral imperative. When he says to watch in verse 33, it's, let me just read to you 2 Peter. And he tells them that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. No one announces it. No one, the thief doesn't say, all right, everybody, I'm going to break into your house March 2nd, 4:30. He doesn't do it. He's coming as a thief. The Lord's second coming is coming suddenly. It is not announced. The Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavens, heavenly bodies will be burned up. Heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. And the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Now listen, this is the moral, pastoral command in light of his command to watch. Since these things are to be thus dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt and burn? But according to his promises, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you're waiting for these things, be diligent to be found by him without a spot or blemish, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul wrote to you concerning these matters. Now, there is coming a generation of saints that are careful and that'll be watching, and hopefully we are watching now. But one day he will indeed come, and you know what we will say? So soon? So soon? It's been so quick. So soon? And the Lord's patience, as he waited for generations now for people to come and hear the gospel and to repent and to come to him. Did you know if he came, Martin Luther was looking for Jesus to come. Did y'all know that? You know, if he had come in Martin Luther's day, where would we be? We would not be. But there is a time when he comes, the last gospel message will have been preached. The last gospel invitation to repent will have been declared, and the heavens will open up like a scroll. And we and those saints will say, "Lord, so soon." And Paul says, it is the last hour. The night is far gone. Did you know there's going to come a day? It's going to be at the last watch. The last watch. And he'll come. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. And if this is all pastoral, what sort of men should we be? Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. When Paul was in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul is asked about marriage. And he says, in light of the present distress, And he goes on to say, for this world is passing away. It might be best for us to not even get married. I like an idiot, said, "Lord, please don't come back until after I'm married. I want to get married." I didn't understand much, did I? I mean, I'm thankful about marriage, every hour of it. But there's coming a day. None of that stuff will matter. From now on, now this, write this on your heart. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. The night is far spent. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear, who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So soon? In Revelation chapter 22, verse 10, and he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." James chapter 5, verse 8, "You also being patient, be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The judge is standing at the door." First John chapter 2, verse 18, "Children, it is the last hour." And Gospel of Luke ends his whole section with this passage. "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of life, that day should come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. But stay awake, praying that you may have strength to escape the things that are going to take place, and stand before the Son of Man." That would be able to stand before him. The apostles clearly wanted to know a timeline. Jesus wanted them to know how to behave. You know why they have wedding rehearsals? Did you know, Steve, that wonderful wedding we saw on television? Anybody see the wedding? Anybody not see it? Some of y'all didn't see it? Oh, it was a fun wedding. I was up early and 3 o'clock. I couldn't sleep. So I thought, I don't think I'll watch that. It was just all a lot of fun. I'm usually not that way about weddings, by the way. I like marriage. I don't like weddings. They're nerve-wracking. But you know why it went so smoothly? They, just like we do, they practiced the night before. You and I, in some sense, wake up every day and practice for His appearing. We ready our hearts. We get ourselves right with God. We stay awake and lest the day come and catch us napping. And we're going to be about all that next week. And we'll just end this whole section. And I'm going to read it to you, what we'll talk about next week. Take heed and watch, for you do not know when the time will come. It will be like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, at midnight, at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to all, watch. The watching here is that watching that's the man that's standing out in the outdoors, as it were, on the picket line waiting and watching. And that's what we are to be like. Not comfortable in our beds. What I say to you, I say to all. Does that mean you, Steve? Yes, it does. Does it mean you and you and you and you and me? He says to all, watch. He will come suddenly. And so next week we'll have this little parable about the man going on a long journey, and that'll be it for chapter 13. Father, we know that your Son would have us live well. Father, give it to us to be ready to, in some sense, practice each day about your coming in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Make us watchful. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.